This is Blurring the Lines with Adam Bell and Peter Nicolaitis, IT entrepreneurs. Adam and Peter take on the topics of technology, business, life, and the pursuit of happiness and blur them together in the 21st century.
Good afternoon, good morning, or good evening, and welcome to the Blurring the Lines podcast. I am your host, Adam Bell. And joining me, as always, is my co-host, Peter Nicolaitis. How are you doing today, Peter?
All in all, positive.
Positive.
Couple of negative factors, one of which being a sore throat that I picked up overnight, which seems to have spread into my sinuses today. So I did the neti pot trick this morning, and it was like, okay, yeah, there's something there. And then I poured a little bit of hydrogen peroxide into it, and yeah, when it hurts, that means you've got a nice infection right there. So I just hope it hurts it more than it hurts me.
Yeah. So let me ask you about neti pots. I mean, I'm weird. This is not in our topic discussion list, but since you mentioned it. So I have two. I have one that seems to have a larger diameter, whatever you want, tip that you put in your nose. And I have another one that is a smaller diameter. And the bigger one, I feel like I'm drowning when I use it. But the littler one, it shoots right through it, and very little discomfort.
Now, how big is the hole at the tip on each of them?
I think the hole is about the same size. It's the ceramic around the tip. It seems like the one opens my nostrils more.
So there's a couple of things that I think of. So I have three right now. Two are plastic, one is ceramic. And I use the plastic ones, you know, like I think I keep one in Vermont, one's in my suitcase, and the ceramic one lives at home. The ceramic one I know has the smallest diameter hole, but it also has the largest tip. So it's a big tip with a tiny little hole. And as such, I think it compresses the water. It comes through faster. Mm-hmm. But I don't shove it all the way in my nose. I just put enough to seal the nostril and let it go from there. Whereas the smaller plastic ones, those go in deeper up my nose. But it can be like the shape of the pot itself can have an effect. The length and the diameter of the hose, the nose spigot can have an effect too, because that affects the angle at which the water flows. It affects the speed at which the water flows, depending on how high it is, right? And you know, how far you turn your head sideways and stuff. So there's a few different angles going on there that could be at play. And this is your fluid dynamics lesson for the day, dear listener.
Well, what I found in order to make it, I mean, it really is uncomfortable. It is. It's like I can feel the water's like pressing up into my sinuses rather than going through the nasal cavity into the other side to, you know, do a kind of clean flush. And what I found instead of pouring it sideways, I pour it more front ways with the bigger one.
And that's probably the problem.
Well, when I do that, then it's not so, it provides less discomfort. When I pour it sideways, it really hurts. But when I bring it closer to the front, it's more comfortable.
And does it have a curve at the bottom? Is it angling? That sounds,
I don't know, because it's the logic. But I know where you were going with the logic on that, because your logic was the same as mine. Oh, it needs to be more to the side so that it will, you know, get to the other side of the nasal. But if I pointed it towards me more, then I was like, oh, okay, this does not suck. I mean, it's neti pot isn't awesome, but...
I remember the very first time I did it. It was an early Twitter post, post of mine was like, I just tried a neti pot, self-inflicted waterboarding. That's what it felt like. So I'm fighting a cold again, and it's kind of a bummer because other than that, I've been on this new running plan now for about a month or so. And it's going really well. I did my time trial yesterday. I don't remember if we recorded, but I did a time trial about 2 weeks ago on Sunday. and I did 10K, and my overall speed was around nine. I was like, I want to say 9 minutes, 5 seconds per mile.
Mm-hmm. That's nice.
Well, yesterday it was 8:40.
Hey, so yeah,
shaved 25 seconds per mile off of it, and you know, different terrain, right? I did it, the other one I did in Vermont, it was a relatively flat course though, right? But also in Vermont I had done my long run the previous day, and it was also pretty hot, whereas yesterday it was definitely cooler. I had a rest day also. This is kind of a rest week. Like, my plan calls for no strength training this week. But I did have my session with my trainer on Monday.
Okay.
And then Tuesday was just like a recovery run, which was fine. And then, today's Thursday. No, today's Friday. Okay. Yeah. That's why I was kind of done. So yeah, Tuesday was a recovery run. Thursday was my time trial run. And yeah, felt good the whole way. And once again, my threshold heart rate locked in at 155 beats per minute, where it has been for like 4 years. And I think it's kind of hilarious. Like, every test that I've done, whether it's what Apple says that should be done, you know, whether it's the old school, what 180 minus your age plus, you know, what, you know, half your age plus seven or whatever, you know, dating rules or something. All these different metrics, they all come out to within a couple of beats of 155. So I think it's hilarious.
So you are textbook exactly what it needs to be then?
I'm exactly where it's supposed to be, except, yes, I am. What's funny about it though is, and I'll talk more about the tech side of the new Garmin watch that I have. Mm-hmm. Over on the Friends with Brews podcast, but I figure here we'll cover the physiological side of things. So what's Peter going through versus what's the technology he's using? And yeah,
listeners need to hop over to friendswithbrews.com to hear the rest of the story.
Exactly, where I'll be spotlighting a new brew, which is kind of fun. I'll get a sneak spoiler alert, everybody. It's Athletic Brewing Company's light beer. If you know Athletic Brewing Company, you know all they make is non-alcoholic beers. So yes, you can now buy a light non-alcoholic beer.
It's called water with bubblies.
It's 25 calories, 5 grams of carbs, zero taste. Anyway, spoiler alert. Sorry, everybody. Yeah. So. So the Garmin has only known me for a week, right? I've had Garmin devices in the past, but I don't think I had any other data in the Garmin cloud. Mm-hmm. But that said, it has assigned me a lower resting heart rate and a higher maximum heart rate than Apple has. Okay. And I, you know, two possibilities. One is that they just use different methods for calculating these things. And two is Garmin has only known me for a week, whereas Apple has known me for several years at this point. Mm-hmm. So I think if Apple was to take a snapshot of my fitness over the past week, it may look different.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, I take it as a good sign because, you know, I think my, you know, my training fitness level is going up. So I'm happy about that because as I get ready, you know, I'm in like, what, less than 2 months away now? Well, no, 3 months away. 3 months away from, you know, a 50 miler. So I want to be trending upwards. So,
yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, so that's where that's going. So let's see, we talked about Nitty Pots. We talked about the thing.
Before we leave fitness, you know, I have also been 3 weeks on now, CrossFit, you know, back in the groove. So
cheers.
five days, 2 weeks in a row. I only did 4 days this week, but I went fishing on Thursday and it registered what I did fishing as exercise. It's actually, you know,
what did you use to register
them? My watch.
I didn't.
It thought I was walking and, you know, outdoor walk.
You're moving the arm, casting and stuff like that. And you're standing, right? You're not sitting while you're doing that. So
yeah, I'm standing and the waves are moving.
I was just going to say the boat is rocking beneath you. So it thinks that you're moving of some sort. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, cause, and where I was, I literally, there's times when you go fishing and then there's times when you go catching. And to Thursday, I was catching. Every single cast that I cast for over 2 hours, I caught a fish every single time. Now they were so where
were
we
using
are
in, dynamite?
No. So I mean, it's just the time of the year. So the speckled sea trout, you know, I got into a place where they were eating bait fish, and so they just constantly hit over and over and over. So I caught, I mean, like, I don't even know what the numbers are. I had to catch 100 fish. I mean, on a hook, one after another. They were between, you know, 7 to 8 inches to 15 inches. And I kept three of them. So we're going to have fish for dinner tonight. But like I caught straight, you know, reel it in, take them off, toss them, throw it back out. Reel them in, toss them, throw it back. And that I was having a great impressive. Time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was a great time. So where I am in Alabama, there's a thing called a jubilee. So a jubilee is when the water, the levels of oxygen in the water become so low that fish become sluggish. And okay. So it's got to be just the right tide. And it usually happens in August, which is we're in the first week of August. And on Wednesday, I missed it. I went fishing on Thursday. I missed it on Wednesday. So, I missed the Jubilee. So a friend of mine, a friend of a friend, he was fishing down here and he took video on his phone. And so he filled a cooler full of flounder. So the flounder come in and you can just see them. You look over the boat, you take your jig, you just stab them, throw them in the cooler, and they're there. And the shrimp are just boiling around. Like they're just all around you. And eels. The eels are going around. So there's fish, eels, and shrimp just kind of milling about slow and lethargic. And you can just grab your, you know, grab, if you want a cooler full of fresh shrimp, you just take your net, scoop them in, dump them in the cooler. It's really, really cool.
Well, related to that, I went to the Boston, the New England Aquarium last week.
Did they let you fish there?
I didn't try.
Okay.
Something tells me the penguins would have gotten in my way if I had tried, though. The penguins were definitely the coolest. They're the best little guys there. But yeah, I saw the sea turtles, the manta rays, the eels, mm-hmm. etc. Love the penguins. Yeah. And man, if I was a penguin like those little guys, I would be able to eat 8 to 16 pounds of fish a day.
Wow.
They eat 5 to 10% of their body weight in fish every day.
Do they do that all year round?
Yeah, that's just their thing.
Huh. But maybe it might be like specific for seasonal, like a bear, and then they don't eat all winter or something.
They're active little guys, and it's so cool watching the penguins, though, you know, watching them fly through the water, you know, because they flap their wings, but they move differently than fish do, and you know, it's like they fly through the water. It's just so cool. So I love those penguins. Little penguins, the guys were a lot of fun. So so yeah. let's see what else we got. Oh, so yeah, back still on the health topics too. Vaccines. So what was it, 2 weeks ago? I got a COVID booster.
Okay.
They're not saying that I should have one. It's just, I haven't had one in, I guess it'd been over a year and a half. I think it was 2023. I think when the last one I got was, so I was like, you know, getting ready for a trip. It's still around, you know, I'll take a shot. And I felt a little run down, little, you know, the achy, stiff the next day. Mm-hmm. might have been the worst reaction or second worst that I've had. You know, I didn't try to exercise, but I was stiff. I took Tylenol. The injection point hurt. And I was like, ugh. Yeah. And then I also found out now that there's a pneumonia vaccine.
Okay, how?
That's what I said, but I checked with my doctor and they're like, yeah, you're due for that. You could get that. I'm like, okay, I'll go get pneumonia vaccine. That one, it just hurt. The insertion point hurt. But other than that, no, you know, like it was like hurt for a day or so. It was definitely really tender where I got the shot. But other than that, no side effects. So, you know, I'm feeling a little better.
I didn't think pneumonia, I thought it was a condition, not a.
That's what I thought. So that was the same thing. I was like, huh, okay, well, whatever. Yeah, sure. Vaccinate me.
So, on COVID, do they do that like the flu where they're in kind of anticipating where it's going to go and which strain is going to show up?
I don't think COVID is anticipatory. I think that's reactive. I'm pretty sure that they're viewing like what they're seeing and stuff. And supposedly there's a new version that might come out this fall, but that's what I heard. I heard the pharmacist at the CVS say that. But my oldest friend who's worked in healthcare now for a good long time said he didn't see anything else on the horizon. So take that with a grain of salt. But I figure, you know, if it's coming out later this fall, you're not supposed to get it within what I think 2 months of each other. I think that's what it is. So I figure a couple months, you know, when I get back from Germany, sure, I'll get another booster then, you know, see whatever that's like. Mm-hmm. So public service announcement, dear listener, there's a pneumonia vaccine now. And if you are a, you know, person of a certain age, you might want to consider getting it.
Yeah, I probably won't do a COVID booster, not because I'm an anti-vaxxer or don't believe that COVID exists or anything. I just probably won't, but I'll probably do the flu. Mm-hmm. Now, if things change and like advice is the best advice to get a COVID, then I will.
Yep.
I'm not crazy.
I'd rather err on the side of vaccinated. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. You know, you know, the doctor's like, yeah, if you want to, you know, you can. I'm like, I think I want the extra immunity, you know, like I'm about to hop, you know, if I'm heading on a plane to another country for a few weeks, I don't want to interrupt that and, you know, be sick and stuff. You know,
Do you wear a mask when you travel these days?
Yeah. Yeah. When I'm on the planes, I do. Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah. And I just think it's a good health idea. Not a COVID idea, just a general good health idea. Because our friends that we travel with, every time she travels, she comes home sick.
Yeah.
And she knows. She's like, yeah, I should just wear a mask on the plane, in the airport, you know, where you're around all these people together. Yep. You know, I mean, it's just common cold, you know, because she's not getting anything terrible. It's just common cold and head cold. And who wants that?
Every night, you know, like right now, like RSA, Black Hat, DEF CON, you know, the RSA or the Black Hat conference is going on right now. Always people come back from a conference. Oh, I have con crud. I have this.
Con crud.
Like, yeah. Or you could wear a mask and dramatically lower your likelihood.
And, I probably won't wear a mask, even though I will have wished I did. When I came back from Mexico, you know what I came back with? A sinus infection. I mean, just a cold, but it got me for 2 weeks. And I was like, finally, I need antibiotics because it's just lingering.
There you go. So, you know, but pay me now, pay me later, you know?
Yeah. So you can be, well, there's a, like an old cartoon that was like, you know, don't die of embarrassment because you don't want your prostate exam, you know? Don't be embarrassed that you don't want to wear a mask. You'll come home and won't have a cold, and everybody else will.
Yep. There you go. You know, it's like, what do you want? So, yeah, I mean, pride is it's a big factor. So, you know, whatever. So last fitness related thing I have is for about a month now, I've been doing low squats every day. Mm-hmm. And I can feel the difference. Like if I do them first thing in the morning.
Got your heels on the ground now?
Yes. If I do it assisted, right? So I have a pull-up bar, you know, chin-up bar in my in my bedroom doorway, and I will generally hang from it for as long as I can for a little while every day. And I'm at the point now, every time I do it, and initially I start to hang, and I can feel some of the vertebra in my spine release. You know, it's like pop, pop, pop. And I was like, okay, so that's kind of cool. I generally don't get the heels all the way down, but I also have a resistance band hung from the chin-up bar. So sometimes I'll just hold on to that for support and go way down. With support, I can get my heels on the ground and hold them there. And that support might be like holding on to a table leg or a, you know, holding onto my sofa, holding a, like a 15-pound weight in front of me. That's enough to offset me and let me, you know, sit comfortably, or hanging onto the, to a resistance band. So, but I feel the difference, and, you know, I'm sold on that. Like hip mobility, it's a thing. But I did, so I follow this YouTube coach online, and she's like, here's my morning routine. And, you know, it's basically you're in a low squat the entire time. And then you do a few drills, moving side to side, Cossack squats, you know, where you're like trying to like speed skater squats, ninja squats on a, you know, on a side plane. Oh, that's rough. And a bunch of, like, you're in the low squat and you touch one knee down and then come back to center and then touch the other knee down. These are hard. These are not easy for me to do. But I went through the whole routine once. I had to stop halfway through and start again. But seriously, I felt like I just floated down the stairs. And the normal tightness in my quads, my ankles, my knees, my hips was just gone. So I'm like, I need to do this. You know, like if I wasn't, you know, if I didn't have the camera and the microphone right now, I would just, you know, squat right down and just record this episode, you know, lower. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, I would say as long as you're a runner, you're always going to fight that more. So you almost have to do it twice as much as a normal person does.
Yeah. Well, I do that, and I do foam rolling every day now too. And between those two, I think that's made a huge difference. You know, I'm doing my strength training now with my coach for over a year. And I think this new running plan, it's a little more conservative. Knock on wood, no aches and pains. I was a little stiff. My right knee was a little tight after yesterday's run. But again, that was speed. You know, that was time trial. That was the probably the fastest 5 miles. I'm sure that was, yeah, that's the fastest 5 miles I've done since 2023. So, because 2023, I did a 5-minute race at around that, you know, comparable speed. So this was the fastest I've run in, you know, about 2 years. A little bit of achiness is, you know, okay. But today I'm just a little stiff, but I'm okay. And I haven't done my foam rolling yet. So I'm happy with that. Oh, and that's the thing. Garmin rates my fitness age. That's a thing. As three years younger than I am, actually. It really docks me as my, on my BMI. It's like, oh, your BMI is too high. I'm like, BMI is a, pardon me, a bullshit number.
Yeah, you're fat. I mean, you're like hugely obese.
I know.
As I see your collarbone sticking out of your shirt,
Well, that's the broken one. So
that's the broken one. Yeah,
that's cheating. But you can still see the other one too.
Yeah,
if you squint, right?
Yeah, so. I mean, you're obese. I'm like a terminally obese. My fat's got fat.
That's the thing, though, is like, you know, I was trying to lose this extra belly fat. I realized I don't really have belly fat. I have skin. I have extra belly skin from when I was obese as a teenager and in my early adulthood. And I don't think there's much to do. I've heard anecdotal stories of people going on a, you know, high, you know, ketosis diet and losing skin, you know, shrinking the skin cells. But other than plastic surgery and, you know, a nip tuck, I don't know that there's anything I can do about it. But it's like when I stand in front of the mirror and just like, you know, flex my abs and stuff, I'm like, there's a very thin layer of fat there. It's skin, you know.
Yeah.
That said, I would love to get down to 15% body fat. Closest I've seen is like 16 and change, though. So I'm trying, but there comes a point where I'm like, it's like I diet and exercise religiously, you know, no offense, but, you know, but like really do it. I go all in, all hard. And the needle doesn't move more than like 0.5%. I was like, at this point, is it worth it? You know, like, what's the difference? As long as I feel good and my training is good and overall my numbers are in good shape, I'm like, do I really want to tighten that noose so hard and give up, you know, like the mental energy and the pleasure of just, you know, living a little bit? I'm like,
Well, and that's been a, you know, because I've been on a health kick here, and I really intentionally wanted to lose weight, and I'm hungry all the time. I mean, that is my state. And so Fridays is my cheat day, and then Saturday, Sunday, everything else. But I'm 4 weeks in now. While I could eat, I'm not nearly as hungry as I was. I kind of get to a place where it's, you know, stasis, but up to this point, I'm like, I am hungry even after I eat. I'd like to eat more.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you got to give everything a little bit of time, right? You know, I would say, like, are you noticing other differences though? Right. Besides just the
hunger,
like, is your energy
my energy's up? You know, I get up at 4 and I'm just used to my programming of, okay, I'm going to need a nap at some point during the day.
Yep.
Well, I haven't. I mean, I haven't gotten more sleep. I just have more energy because I am doing better health wise.
Yep. I mean, better sleep. I did my, I did like a 12 mile and change long run on Saturday. Slept horribly Saturday night. It was terrible. I'm sure a lot of it was mental, right? And also, like, I treated myself to a 3-scoop ice cream afterwards for my recovery. So, you know, maybe nutrition played a little bit, but then Sunday night came around, horrible sleep, terrible sleep. Monday night, like, I told my trainer, I'm like, I don't know, don't expect much from me today. I've slept terrible, you know, 2 nights in a row. By the time I got to the gym, I felt fine and it was okay. All right, that wasn't so bad. And then I had not taken any, you know, CBD, or I took melatonin one night, didn't do anything. So then I did a little bit of CBD, and that made it an improvement. And then finally last night, my Garmin said that I got okay sleep, but I felt pretty good about it. So, anyway, like I said, I'll get more into the nitty gritty details of Garmin versus Apple and stuff, both in a forthcoming blog post, but also in a forthcoming Friends with Brews podcast. So,
well, did I read your picture that you sent me? Did it say lactating?
Lactate threshold.
I've got nipples, Fokker. Can you milk me?
So yeah, that was part of the Garmin. The Garmin is much more proactive and chatty with health recommendations and training recommendations. So I really see why runners and athletes are drawn to it. And I see a lot. No, that was really me. That wasn't my internet connection stuttering. A lot of shortcomings of Apple in this case now. You know, Apple was good enough for me. But the big thing was battery life. So I bought the Garmin, you know, right now it's at, my battery is at, like 60% and estimates like 10 days on that, on this charge.
10 days. What are you talking about?
Exactly. So I've decided though, like, and again, we'll discuss this more in, on F with FWB, but I offered Apple to buy back my Ultra, and they said they'll give me $375 for it, which is about what they did last time when I did that.
Nice.
Yeah. So they're going to buy that back for me. And right there, that's about what I paid for the Forerunner. It was $300 or $400, right? So that's a wash. But I think, what, a month or so from now, Apple will likely introduce a new Apple Watch. And I will likely step down at that point, because I just never, other than battery life and the passive features like the bigger screen, I wasn't really taking advantage of the Apple Watch Ultra features, right? So, but I have come to really appreciate the baseline watchOS features that the Garmin just doesn't have.
Yeah.
So I will likely be a two watch man, you know, moving forward. It's like when I go for a run, breaking out the Garmin, everything else, Apple.
Yeah.
That's probably what I'm going to do. Spoiler alert. And, here's the
but, and I would say that Apple, you as a more elite athlete, and I, that's, I can't think of a better term, but you, somebody who is really dedicated to being an athlete rather than just being healthy. The market is for the healthy people, not you. You are, there are less yous than there are overweight people that want to be, feel a little better, be a little bit better, you know, who are walking 30 minutes a day and that's all they do, you know, so the market is for them. And that's why the Garmin's like, we'll get with the athletes.
Yep. And it makes perfect sense. Right. And for the last several years, Apple's been fine. Right. You know, the biggest letdown was the battery life. And of course, when I ran my first ultra marathon, the 50K, I only had the series 6 or 8 at the time. I forget. I think it was series 6. There's no way that thing would have gotten me through a 50K. Absolutely not. Full stop. Right. Just not going to happen. So I wanted the Ultra. And of course, the Ultra, you know, I couldn't buy it that day. I got it a week later. So I used it, but it was like, you know, in airplane mode paired with my phone. I had to carry the phone with me the whole time. And so and I was like, okay, whatever. You know, with all the extra gear I was carrying, that wasn't that big a deal. But as I've discussed before many times, like I'm at the point now where I'm carrying a phone with me all the time anyway. So will I really miss it? But just puttering around the house, not carrying the phone around, I'm like, hey, I want, you can't hear me, you know.
you're not going to do anything.
You're not going to answer and stuff. So anyway, spoiler. So we'll move on though, because, you know, we'll save all this for the next Friends with Bruce. Do you have anything else? Because I have a what we watch and what we're going to watch.
Yeah, let's talk it.
Watch the remake of War of the Worlds.
Okay, now there was Tom Cruise one. Is it that one or was there another one?
Nope. Amazon just released one starring Ice Cube.
Ice Cube, okay.
It is worth watching because this is one of the very few elite movies that has scored the, has joined the 0% club on Rotten Tomatoes.
is it coming from Compton? Is he playing, you know, he's got the team of Friday on it?
So, you know what? I don't want to give my full on review here, but what I would say is watch the Ryan George pitch meeting for the War of the Worlds, which just dropped. And then if you really want a Mystery Science Theater 3000 evening, go and watch the actual movie. But as always, his pitch meeting is spot on.
Spot on. Perfect.
So perfect. It's just, it's hilarious, you know? So
I'll have to check that out. Did I tell you about Stephen King's Fairy Tale? Did I tell you about that?
I don't know.
It's a book. It's one of his newer books. It's not his newest book, but it's in the newer genre. It is really good. I think I've told everybody.
Is Richard Fanning in it?
Richard Fanning.
Flag? No. Okay. Because that's his overarching villain, the wizard who shows up in many of the books. Like I think he's in The Gunslinger and Eyes of the Dragon and stuff.
Okay, you know, it's a completely standalone story. It's not in the Dark Tower series at all. He actually doesn't even, I don't think he even mentions New England. I don't think it's in New England. Maybe it is, but it is. So it is a really good story, and he embraces a lot of the different fairy tales, like Jack and the Beanstalk. And you know what I've really, you know, I when I thought of Stephen King, I thought of his work in the 80s and like his Scream movies in the 80s, because that's what I always thought about him. He's this horror guy. I don't really dig horror, you know, I don't like that. And then yeah. I think 112263 and Mr. Mercedes introduced me to Stephen King in his modern writings. And I've read a lot of his books now, because he's like Peyton Manning is to the quarterbacks. He's a writer who studies writing, and mm-hmm. The fairy tale does a really good job of, you know, intelligent writing. And I'm like, wow, you know, people who are, you know, diligent readers and study. I'd like to be able to write a book, and I sometimes have ideas about writing a book. I don't have I'm not gonna write a book, you know, but I like the idea of it, and so I can really appreciate somebody who writes a good book, and he really writes a good book, and that's a good story.
Okay. I went through a Stephen King phase a while ago, and
Randall Flagg was in the Stand.
Yeah, so he's in the Stand. He's also in the Dark Tower at some point, but I don't think I got to that part. He's also the evil wizard Flagg in Eyes of the Dragon.
And oh, okay.
Yeah, so he's in a lot of those different things. So.
Okay, sorry I interrupted you.
Yeah, no worries.
When I saw it, I was like, oh, it was Flagg. Okay, yeah.
Yes. So, but I think his name is Richard Fanning in another book, but he's got the same initials, RF. Mm-hmm. Right? So incidentally, we didn't have a show notes document today, right? So
we did.
I didn't get that. Huh. Okay. Hold on. I probably looked in the wrong email. I was just going to say, I just put these notes under the reminders, and I've just been checking them off as we talked about them. So you're going to probably want to just go back and dig a couple of those out.
Mm-hmm.
I did not get, oh, there it is. Oh, it only showed up at 2:24, 20 minutes ago.
Well, I sent it before, but yeah.
Yeah, no, it shows up 20
technology.
Minutes somewhere. Technology. So yeah, anyway, Rotten Tomatoes, War of the Worlds is up to 4% now.
4%. 4% out of 5.
No, a little more now.
4% out of 100. Yeah.
So yeah, there you go. So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah, I think that's all I got for today.
Cool. All right. Well,
excuse me. I guess I'll try to take this up before I lose my voice now that I started thinking about it. So yeah, dear listener, if you want to hear if you want to get in touch with us, you can do so at blurringthelinespodcast.com. You can also find Adam at rrlavenderfarm.com. You can find me at nicolaitis.com and a plethora of other locations all shown up. We're still on the website. We've got links to my socials, but I'm not really doing much on Mastodon or Blue Sky these days. I'm really not. It's just, I wasn't really getting much off of it. So yeah, whatever. But anyway, yeah, start at blurringthelinespodcast.com. You can't go wrong if you start there. And send us some feedback. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you didn't like. Tell us what you want us to talk about. Tell us what not to talk about. No. Yeah, well, yeah, you can tell us. We don't have to listen.
You can tell us.
Yeah, you can tell us. But yeah, and I think that's about it, man. I don't know about you, but I think it's time to push the big red button.
To contact either us or our guests, visit blurringthelinespodcast.com. If you like what you're hearing, do us a solid and subscribe to our podcast, and leave us a 5-star review in iTunes, Google Play Store, or wherever you found us.